You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Now a story about supply and demand, two of the most basic economic concepts. It's also a story about dogs, and it starts with mine, a wiggly seal-colored mutt named Mara, who originally came from Vidalia, Georgia. She was pulled from a county shelter with mange, a bloody face, very little fur. Local volunteers worked with a group where I live, in Brooklyn, New York, to move her north, where I adopted her. And Mara is not alone. An entire industry has sprung up, moving a supply of adoptable dogs from the rural south to cities in the north where there's a demand for them. To figure out why, my producer and I split up, and I went to rural Marion, North Carolina, to the supply. That's where I met Joy Harkelrode. She's got a shy smile and a blue minivan with a Who Rescued Who sticker on the back.
I actually got a call while I was in church.
About what she's cradling in her arms, wrapped in a towel.
A little week-old puppy that was thrown away in a trash bag with her six siblings.
Harkelrode sits with her friend Susan Menard in Menard's kitchen, while three dogs run around at our feet, and the puppy, whose eyes are still closed, sucks on my thumb. She constantly gets calls from sheriff's deputies, the trash guy, and an informal network of people who know she rescues dogs. So much so that Menard teases her.
When's the last time you had a vacation?
The
last time you went somewhere overnight, anywhere?
Many, many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is that so many dogs need homes. I asked her why she thinks that is.
Because there's no spay-neuter law, no leash law. And we've tried for years to get one, but every time we try, we get stopped. And it's usually by the hunters, you know, and they stop. They don't want any of these things instituted. And, you know, the county commissioners are, you know, they're not in agreement that we need a spay-neuter law.
So I went to see Ashley Wooten. He's the McDowell County manager. And he says when the idea of a spay and neuter law comes up, yeah, hunters don't like it. And the North Carolina Sporting Dog Association told us they don't. Wooten says other people think it's government overreach, but also it's expensive.
When you have the poverty level that we do in a working class community like we do, it's harder for folks to say, okay, I'm going to go out and spend $300 for this whatever procedure that my dog needs or my cat, or to spend $150 on a spay and neuter.
Instead, they've focused on education, low-cost vet services, and bringing the euthanasia rate down at the county shelter. That also means that in McDowell County and across North Carolina, there's an entire network of people like Joy Harkelrode. At Rusty's Legacy, a volunteer rescue not too far away, there are 32 dogs in kennels. Some will live out their lives here, like Marshall, who was found hogtied in the woods. But I'm here to meet the dogs going north.
I'm picking up animals that are going to Connecticut Humane Society to find their forever homes.
Kelly Brown from yet another rescue group, Brother Wolf, loads four cream and white hound puppies, plus one brindle, into crates while Vicky Harper says goodbye.
You have a new exciting life. Yes, you do.
And I then follow Brown and these little ones, all of whom have names that start with Z, to the Brother Wolf building in Asheville, where they get a vet check and some shots.
And he's a boy. I'm a little more dramatic than the girls.
Aww.
He's fine, really. Brother Wolf started transporting dogs north roughly a decade ago. This year, they've moved more than 650 dogs. And it costs about $200 per dog just to get them medically ready. That's before their crates are even put in the van.
One more crate, one more dog. We will be all set.
From here, we'll drive an hour and a half to Taylorsville, North Carolina, to meet Kelly Ivory. Yeah, there are a lot of Kellys in this story. Ivory has made a business out of transporting dogs.
Hi, everybody.
In Taylorsville, she collects the dogs from rescue groups all across the state and loads them into her van for a 13-hour trip to that new life in Connecticut.
We're going to be driving, and while one's driving, the other one's going to be sleeping, and there's any messes in the back, whoever's not driving is cleaning it up as it happens. My name is Kelly Ivory, and I run Howl on Wheels Transport. It is a transport for rescue dogs. an average week for me could be 5,200 miles on a road with a load full of dogs. I was running a humane society, and I seen the need to get some of these dogs out of this area. So I went ahead and got a van and decided that this is what I need to do. So here it is, an hour into the trip. We just stopped. We needed to grab something to drink. We've had some dogs that just didn't settle down at this point. We've had to clean a few crates, but we are ongoing.
Live deer. Horizontal or vertical?
There's not a lot of money making in transporting when you're looking at all the expenses you're putting out just to keep the vans on the road. Usually the receiving rescues will pay me. I usually say, okay, it's going to be a dollar per mile. This one's about a $1,600 run, and it's based off of the fuel, the payroll, the amount of maintenance. I mean, I'm averaging anywhere from $800 to $1,600 a month just in maintenance. I make ends meet, but that's pretty much it. Okay, it is 1 a.m. in the morning. We have just stopped. We just got some fuel. I'm going to use the restroom, grab some snacks, clean any crates that need to be cleaned. Oh. Hi, baby. It was a big baby. Look at you. Oh, yes, you did a mess in there. Hold on. You're soaked, girly. You're soaked. We have scheduled stops, so we will stop. We will walk a dog. We will clean up their kennels.
Dog's got some strong urine.
So by the time that we arrive up in the north, you can open up that door, and you don't typically smell anything.
Right.
So here it is, 6:30 a.m. We're getting ready to cross over the Tappan Zee Bridge. We're hoping to get to the Connecticut Humane Society in time. I've been doing this in business for almost 5 years. There's definitely some competition out there. I've seen a huge increase on the amount of transporters that have opened businesses, especially the last couple of years. A lot of these dogs don't deserve what they've been dished out. If I can be that leg of transportation up to the north to help, then I'm going to do it.
And when the dogs arrive, well, it's not quite over. Marketplace's Peter Ballinon-Rosen picks up our story. He went to Newington, Connecticut to follow the dog's journey and explore why there's northern demand for southern dogs in the first place.
Yep, this is a story of supply and demand after all. So before we get back to the puppies, let's talk about that. To walk us through, meet Gordon Willard.
I'm the executive director here at the Connecticut Humane Society,
where the dogs from North Carolina have just arrived. Willard's been in this biz since 1983. Back then, across the Northeast,
we were dealing with surplus animals. We had oversupply and under demand.
Back then, the Connecticut Humane Society processed over 40,000 local animals each year. But then, in the mid-90s, something changed. All of a sudden, fewer homeless dogs.
Which meant spaying and neutering was working.
New rules across New England made owners sterilize their pets. But just as fewer dogs got to shelters, demand for them shot up. Why? Well, a few reasons. One, spay-neuter rules meant fewer people adopting out unwanted litters. Two, it also meant fewer strays. And three, purebred dogs and their puppy mill associations were not so cool anymore.
And the word rescue took on a different connotation.
Then Hurricane Katrina hit. In 2005, Northeast Humane Groups pooled resources to transport dogs from New Orleans. It showed them, whoa, we can bring dogs from other places, disaster or no. And by 2016, Connecticut organizations were bringing up about 20,000 animals a year from out of state. Today, about one in every 10 comes here to the Connecticut Humane Society.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning.
Staff and volunteers get ready, putting on bright blue scrubs. I suit up, too.
Yeah, get our gloves on, and then we'll start taking dogs off as soon as the vet comes.
As soon as the vet comes. There's a whole process to this. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has 23 pages of regulations for how to handle and transport dogs. Inside the van, dogs wait. The unloading process, it's a choreography, one dog at a time.
Come on, let's go.
I meet this little rat terrier. She's white with pointy black ears, and her name's Abby. She's terrified, pees herself as volunteer Steve Wilbert picks her up.
Piddles.
They clean that up and take Abby for a walk. Little by little, you see the transformation. Abby goes from trembling to sniffing around the lawn. She even jumps at a tree.
That's my girl. You ready to go in and take a look at the vet? Let's go.
Let's turn her around and we're going to just look at her knees and look at her skin.
Vet Kaylin Machewski examines every dog. She sees a strange spot on Abby. Machewski examines her fur with a black light, looking for any bacteria or fungus.
So anything weird will glow a green. She looks good.
She does. Let's go, Abs.
Abby heads to an area where transport dogs stay for 48 hours before joining other dogs up for adoption. Now, with all of this, there are costs. The medical exams down south, the transport, and this processing. Connecticut Humane Society foots the bill for all of it, and it adds up. Again, Director Gordon Willard.
In economic terms, this is the most horrible business plan you could ever create. But in mission terms and in humane terms, this is exactly what our donors ask us to do.
Can you put a dollar figure to how much you spend on each dog?
About a net figure, we're looking about $900 subsidy per animal adopted.
Adoption fees range from $100 for older dogs to $445 for puppies. Willard says the shelter stays open because of their donors, not money from adoptions. I pop down to the adoption area. It's loud. Irving Cologne came by with a friend.
I'm thinking of getting a dog now that I just moved into the area.
I know a lot of the animals they have here are rescues that are either from the area or from elsewhere. Is that something that's on your mind?
They should all get a chance. I'm not too picky on their background and stuff like that.
Staff say most of the transport dogs will be adopted out within the week. And they say when the year's through, like every year, they'll crunch the numbers, go through their books, and see if transport is something they plan to continue. I'm Peter Balanon Rosen for Marketplace.
This story was produced in partnership with Topic, a film, television, and digital studio. You can find a link to Topic's beautiful images for this story and their very cute subjects. Just go to marketplace.org.